I am Andrew, brought to you by the new and improved Shakeweight microphone.
And I am Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase, and I need to buy some new microphone batteries.
Or some new microphones.
That too.
Hi, I'm Ryan, and I'm really excited for this episode. We are showcasing some custom HeroScape cars, just having some fun. We're showcasing some DC, some Star Wars, some Lord of the Rings. So let's get started with this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.
Welcome back to Season 4, Episode 17 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase over at TabletopBattlefield.com. Hopefully this episode I won't be doing much talking, because Ryan's the one who came up with everything behind this episode, all the ideas, all the stuff we're working with.
Yes, quite a bit, quite a bit.
So what's going on today?
Well, a few months ago, I took up the call to explore HeroScapers.com. Looked inside it and found that there's just a plethora of custom cards. I mean, these guys are nuts there. Great website to go to. You can get all sorts of information on different characters and stuff from different types of genres to bring into your HeroScape plane. My big concern was that there were so many HeroScape cards and so many of these customs that I wanted to know, okay, what fitted well in the HeroScape universe that you could work with other HeroScape, regular HeroScape cards. So that's basically the reason why I wanted to do this type of episode today, is to do these custom cards and figure out if they play well in the HeroScape universe.
So you basically picked out a few sets here. We've got Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, a little bit of Halo, but there wasn't much of that out there.
No, there wasn't.
And some DC and Marvel Hero, yeah, it's super heroes. Yeah, I want to say Heroes Clicks, but
And the Marvel characters are actually characters that are from the original HeroScape line. I was able to buy this off of Amazon. It's the HeroScape Marvel game set, The Conflict Begins, and you got some fantastic figures. The Hulk is awesome. The Silver Surfer is pretty cool. And these figures do very well to expand the universe. Just to put in, this is what expansion set should be, and that's what the D&D HeroScape set should have been.
Oh, yeah, should have been
not just a master set. It should have been like this. If it was, I mean, this set's awesome. If the D&D set would have been more like this, I think it would have been a fair game to play, but it wasn't. But anyway.
So here's what we're going to do with this. We're basically going to start with one set of figures. I think Lord of the Rings we're going to start off with first.
Yes.
We'll talk a little bit about where you got them, why you chose this set, because there are other sets of like Lord of the Rings figures out there. Unfortunately, we only have time to do one.
Yes.
Maybe more later, but don't worry about that right now. And then we'll do a little quick battle report of the small scenario we created for them. We'll come back and talk how well they worked, what we liked, what we didn't like. And finally, after we go through the three different sets we're going to be talking about today, we did one massive, really crazy scenario, which I'll let Ryan describe, because he made it up literally on the fly.
Yes.
And
well, no, brainstorm for the last 2 months.
Okay, brainstorm for the last 2 months. And I thoroughly exploited it and won. But we'll do that at the very end. So, what's first up? Lord of the Rings?
First up is Lord of the Rings.
So, let's get started talking about Lord of the Rings.
Let's do it.
All right, so Ryan, tell us about the Lord of the Rings figures we're going to be showing off in just a minute here in the battle report.
Okay, this is one set that I pulled from a website called Boromir and Kermit. Like I said, you can find it on my custom page on the Army Showcase. I did a small playtest with both sets of cards, and you can get the information from my HeroScape Lord of the Rings custom card playtest that's on the ArmyShowcase.com.
These what characters we got there?
Well, the characters are basically the Fellowship of the Ring, and these are very intricate. The guy who designed these customs, very intricate into the Lord of the Rings universe. You have the influence of the Ring throughout some of the characters. You have the hobbits that have interesting abilities that coincide with the movie, and it just brings a little bit of depth to the HeroScape universe and the way they interact. And it's really interesting to see how they interact with other HeroScape characters in that universe. You got Gandalf, you got Gandalf the Grey and Gandalf the White, so he can die and rise again. You have your orc swarms. You have two orc heroes, And you also, there were also other figures from the universe that he had, but I couldn't just, I couldn't limit it. I had to limit it down to a little bit because we only have so much time to play these characters.
Andrew and I did a quick play test, or I guess a quick play test at work. Yeah, sounds good enough. Yeah. A small scenario where I control the Fellowship, he controls a swarm of orcs. Let's go ahead and run the video of that right now.
Okay, what we're doing first is we're doing a scenario called the Fellowship Surrounded, basically Lord of the Rings characters. You got the Fellowship of the Ring right here, Frodo in the center, the rest of the ring surrounding him, and then the Fellowship being surrounded by orcs. And so what Jason and Andrew have to do is one of them will have to keep Frodo protected, the other one will have to try and wipe out Frodo. It's basically the object of the game is keeping Frodo alive or kill him.
All right, after round one, I've been playing the Fellowship here, and obviously the orcs, who are represented by goblins in this case, have swarmed around me, as you would expect the good. They're obviously going after Frodo here in the middle, trying to kill him. And I've basically moved out and attacked a lot. I think I've killed, what, it looks like four orcs. I killed the fifth one, but it respawned due to the special rule.
And my
and the cave troll. So I'm doing all right here. We'll see how turn two goes right now. A pretty quick turn too. Andrew over here did one action with his Uruk-hai, walked up to Frodo, rolled four attack dice, got four skulls. I promptly failed the roll for Samwise Ganji to swap places and take the hit. And then Frodo rolled absolutely no defense dice. Therefore, Frodo is dead in one attack and the game's over. Playtest of the Lord of the Rings set, which Andrew won.
I guess it could go either way. Yes.
So, what do we think of those various characters? Well, you haven't said a single word yet. Let's have you talk, Andrew.
Well, for me, I mean, what can I say? I didn't get a chance to use the troll because you killed him right off the bat.
Yeah, the troll I think was very weak.
Yeah.
And the troll did come from another set, not Boromir and Kermit. It came. From Heroescapers.com, I'm not sure who did it. But
now, to be fair, though, the troll took four arrows from Legolas to bring down.
Yes,
so it wasn't
yes,
that
it did.
He just, I concentrate firepower on him.
Yes.
So, that's...
What's one way to beat an overpowered character? Just beat it with another overpowered character.
Exactly.
War Machine way.
I mean, all it took was a swarm of Uruk-hai scouts. I mean, I didn't even have to use Lurtz or Ugluk to get in there.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much, I moved away there and left Frodo exposed. He just flooded
in. Cannot leave Frodo exposed, because Frodo will take that hit,
Yep.
So, I mean, for example, I like Legolas. I like the fact he can fire multiple arrows. Just kind of a movie where he's running on.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Gimli is a lot of fun, too. He charges in, gets like this extra, what do you get, extra damage or something.
I think Gimli and Legolas are my favorite out of this pack.
Yeah.
And this pack, I think, was my least favorite from the other one that I playtested, because I playtested both, and the same scenario that you guys did.
Yeah.
And I did like the other pack, but they both have their pluses and their minuses. I mean, both sets of customs do have their pluses and their minuses.
So what don't you like about the set?
What I don't like about this set is the fact that there should be like the other custom card set has a little bit of shielding to where it can help like Frodo when it comes to taking on attacks from like orcs and otherwise.
Yeah, because now, it was really easy.
Yeah,
Frodo
is a little bit stronger. Now you do have that one special ability with Samwise.
Now in the case of you saying a little bit easy, it was a lot of probability that worked in your favor.
Oh yeah.
I mean, because not only did you win the initiative to get to go first,
yeah,
but then you rolled four hits against Frodo.
Yeah.
Which on four attack dice, four hits, that's a really low probability of happening.
Yeah.
Then there is, like you said, the ability where Samwise and Frodo kind of swap places.
Mm-hmm.
And I blew that and failed that roll.
Yes.
Then Frodo rolled absolutely no defense dice. So there's a lot of string of crappy probability that really screwed me over.
My comment on easy is the amount of defense he does get.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't seem like a lot.
Yeah, and in the other custom cards, Frodo, his ring power is actually a bit more in depth.
Okay.
But I think the ring can control it more.
Yeah.
Now another negative thing I have is, let's see here. Actually, yeah, I think I love, like, with Boromir, I love this ability, but at the same time, I mean, being controlled by the ring and having, like, someone easily take control of Boromir.
I was hesitant to use him.
Yeah,
that really did hurt.
Yes, you
just turn
around. You do get hesitant
to
use him.
Yeah.
But I think that kind of reflects on what the Fellowship thinks of Boromir. If you're playing, like, just a custom Lord of the Rings Heroescape type scenario where you're just using Lord of the Rings figures, I think it's fine. But when you're in another scenario, when you have other Heroescape figures,
yeah.
I just don't think that cuts it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, next up is Star Wars, another one of Ryan's favorite sagas of all time. So why don't you talk a little bit about this set. Where did you get it from? Who did it? All the usual kind of
Okay, now effects. This set was from Heroescapers.com, and this guy... this is one of my favorite Heroescapers on Heroescapers.com. His name is Grey Owl. Greyowl. And he has made some fantastic custom cards, especially in the Star Wars genres. Also Marvel and DC, but especially in Star Wars. I mean, he has so many...
Good luck trying to claim copyright in that, like he doesn't...
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. And like, I don't claim to make any of these things. He has made from so many characters and put so many stat cards from different characters throughout three movies and even outside of the universe into the book universe as well. He has Mara Jade characters. I even think he has Animal Thrawn as a character. Even though good luck trying to find a figure that's this small. And he's also has. Let's see. Wait, where is it? Nope. What did I do with it?
And there's things that come from books, too, because the assassin droids, are they from the movies?
I think it's over there.
The assassin droids are from the book.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, like I said, he did span a universe, and I don't have it. I don't know why I didn't bring it. He also created a small rule book, because for these figures, do have a little thing called a force ability. It's that little signet underneath there.
Mm-hmm.
And it just basically involves the falling damage and how those with force abilities don't take falling damage, which is pretty cool. And you got like characters like C-3PO who are almost completely useless. And the cool thing is for like even certain characters like Luke Skywalker, he has them in stages to where he's got Luke Skywalker Jedi Knight, he's got Luke Skywalker just farm boy. He also did that with Obi-Wan Kenobi to where Obi-Wan Kenobi stretches to like I think three or four different types of characters.
Mm.
It's just amazing what he did with these characters. I think these are the best customs you could probably use that you can integrate in the Heroescape universe. They've got great stats. They got great special abilities, and they are my favorite out of the bunch, most definitely.
So this time it was Andrew versus Ryan in this particular scenario. So let's go ahead and get started with this battle report for the Star Wars custom Heroescape.
For the second scenario, we have Star Wars, the Star Wars figurines, and what they're going to be doing is, obviously, the good guys are going to be rescuing Han Solo encased in carbonite. The object of the game basically is to wipe each other out, but the second objective is to rescue Han Solo and get him out of the carbonite encased and start fighting the bad guys as well. So that's the scenario. We'll see how it goes. Forces I'm using are the good guys. I have Luke Skywalker, Jedi Knight, Chewbacca, Princess Leia, and C-3PO, just because there was only 40 points left. So that's the squad. That's the group I have.
And for the dark side, I have the Imperial Officer, Vader leading them, Scout Troopers, the Assassin Droids, and the Helion Swoop Gang. So mostly squads with two single model characters. So.
Just about to end this first round. Chewbacca's by his friend's side trying to unfreeze Han. I'm going to roll a 20-sided die and see if Chewbacca will do just that. And it's a 20. Yes, Han has been unfrozen right after the first round.
So now,
next turn, though, he doesn't get to do anything, right?
No, he won't be able to do anything this next turn.
Okay, so he'll be shot up like crazy, though?
He could be.
Okay, shoot him, Han, always down.
Yep. So now his figure's getting replaced. He's gotten frozen, but now he's got hibernation sickness, so I cannot use this until the end, until the next round.
All right, well, I just moved Vader up here after shooting with the Imperial scouts on Chewbacca, so he's already got a wound on him. So I moved Vader up, and he's going to force choke Chewbacca. So on the 20-sided die, see what I get. I got a 4. So remove one order tote marker at random from the figure's card.
That's fine. Go ahead.
So
just 2.
This one.
This one.
Yep.
Okay, so the end of the third round, Chewbacca kind of, sort of, ripped Vader's arms off.
Yeah.
You can see.
His helmet's off, his arm's off.
Wait.
His hand, it's all off.
You can take these off, see? There you go.
Vader got ripped apart.
And then, with some marksmanship, Han Solo blasted two assassin droids, and Luke Skywalker is about to come in and lightsaber somebody's head off. Well, like I said before, Han and Chewbacca
kind of mess things up.
Yeah, they're powerhouses. They've basically wiped out everybody. You see Darth Vader's corpse here. He's just going to go into the mud there. You see his arm there. The lightsaber just...
And Luke cut up the officer.
Luke cut up the officer. He was basically saying, I can do something too! And he just stood there hanging out with Princess Leia, even though they're brother and sister. You see the pieces of assassin droids. Basically,
Han shot it all up.
Light side one, Chewbacca really tore everything up.
Yeah.
When it comes to the big battle over here, I'm calling Han Solo and Chewbacca.
That's fine, I get the superheroes.
Alright.
So there you go. That was the battle report for Star Wars Custom Heroescape figures. This is one I sat out this time around. I got to play with the Star Wars figures later on.
Yes, you did.
So, just, I want to make my first comment, though, from watching from the outside. Han Solo plus Chewbacca.
Yes.
Very, very powerful.
Yes.
Chewbacca and Han Solo are very deadly.
That seems just ridiculously violent.
Yeah.
I love it.
That, because you didn't need anyone else.
Nope.
You didn't even need to...
Luke Skywalker.
You didn't even need to cut up the one officer with Luke Skywalker, because Han Solo and Chewbacca would have just taken him out. So.
Yeah, I really like it how he... Grey Owl really blended like Han Solo and Chewbacca, mm-hmm. and also Princess Leia. Leia's there, adds an extra attack dice to their roll. So really, you just need those three characters, and they kick butt.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder what would have happened if I had taken the Emperor plus Darth Vader.
Things
or...
probably would have been more difficult because you did wound me quite a bit.
Yeah,
I mean the wounds were up there.
Yeah.
So is there a lot of synergy with these cards, or a lot of them work well together?
Yes. Yes, depending on what you have together, a lot of these characters, especially in whatever faction they're in, like Imperial Empire, Outer Rim characters, Jedi Knights, mm-hmm. They blend really well together.
Yeah.
And Grey Owl, I mean, he's always adding on characters to this because, I mean, he's got, I know it's got to be at least over 100 of these custom cards, if not more, and I can tell he's building them more because there's some characters that I'm like, okay, nothing matches with anybody, so he must be going to be making more in the future.
Yeah.
So we know your favorite combination is Han Solo Chewbacca. Who is your favorite out there?
probably, yeah, Darth Vader. Darth Vader. the force grip, although the force choke, I wish I had gotten the higher ones.
I find your lack of faith.
Although I will say it's a good thing that I did get that, because I did remove a marker from you. So.
Yes. And you did not find out how many shots it takes to get rid of a Wookiee.
Yes.
No, that was how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Wookiee. As Ryan proposed. I don't want to know the answer to that. And then Ryan claims he doesn't know the answer.
I have no idea. I like Star Wars a lot, but I'm not into it that much.
So what else worked and what else didn't work? Do you think they felt, did the characters feel right for Star Wars? Or did some of them feel like broken? What do you guys say?
I say it worked really well. I mean, especially with Han Solo encased in carbonite. Who would think of that type of custom card in that type of scenario? I mean, that can be a really fun scenario. I think if I were to play that type of scenario again, I think I would give the Empire, bad guys, maybe like 100 or 200 more point value, just to give them a bit more of an edge and make it a little bit more challenging for the good guys.
Or at least maybe they could have it like where Han Solo, because, in Empire Strikes Back, they're basically, taking Han Solo and Carbonite through the halls of Cloud City. Mm-hmm. Make it where basically the Empire is escorting him through the maze.
And you would be, and I think if you would have chosen Boba Fett, I think it would have
been, probably would have been
a
better,
different battle. Yes.
I will say from the last battle we played, which we haven't, we record all the battles ahead of time.
And I knew when he didn't choose Boba Fett, and when I saw the guys you chose, I'm like, I think I got this. All I have to worry about is Darth Vader, but
Boba Fett is awesome. He is really an awesome, awesome figure.
Well, I was kind of surprised because my shooters were actually doing somewhat decent because I did a lot of,
You did.
Three damage or whatever.
It's amazing. I mean, like I said, this is probably the most balanced custom card set out of the ones that I've
had. Were there other Star Wars custom card sets out
there? There were, but not as many as he had. Okay. And I just wanted to give him kudos because it was obviously put a lot of effort into this, I mean, especially with his rule book and just the cards. Everything else was just crappy. And like I said, I only could choose one, and this was the best stuff out there. So that's what I chose.
Okay, any more comments about them?
Mm-hmm.
You like them?
Some stuff. Let the Wookiee win.
There yes.
All right, so let's move on to talking about these superheroes ones and how well they mix with also Halo and the existing Marvel HeroScape set.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about the superheroes custom figures you had, as well as how well do they work with the Marvel HeroScape set and Halo. So why was Halo tossed in with the heroes?
Because there wasn't many Halo custom minifig cards, so I couldn't create too many armies with them. But the Halo minifigs that were there, I mean, were pretty good. And these ones, and I do believe I do have these, like I said before, I don't have the Star Wars one up yet, but I will. These are in the Army Showcase, on Armam and Forge Link, with the custom HeroScape cards. You can get the information how to pull these up from the website there. But,
These are by us, the Samurai Lord and General Grievous?
Yeah, Samurai Lord and General Grievous 13 made these. I'd say, I mean, they are pretty good cards. I like the fact that they have shielding on both the Master Chief and an Arbiter. I think they were trying to integrate much as the game as they wanted to possibly put into it.
Except they didn't bother to give the Master Chief anything but a Spartan laser.
Yes. Yeah. So
no battle rifle.
I think
shotgun,
the Spartan laser was
grenades. No grenades.
I think Spartan laser was just the staple, and really, I mean, you can't use too many weapons. I mean, you can only use one, and that was a powerful one. I mean, Spartan.
Yeah.
I mean, Master Chief does have his strength. He does have shielding. So I think the Gojai. I think his attack though. Should have been maybe one up a little more rather than attack of three, maybe attack of four.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. So, what about the custom superhero cards?
Most of these I got a variety, but most of the ones that we used were by Gray Owl. Like I said before, that's
ATST is not a superhero.
Yeah, ATST is not a superhero. We got them mixed up. But as far as what you use, Jason, Scarecrow, and Two-Face, these are by Gray Owl. Like I said, he does have a wide variety of DC and Marvel as well.
Okay. So let's go ahead and we'll show the battle report, where it's Ryan versus myself in a, I guess, small city fight kind of thing with a weird abnormal pillar in the middle. Anyway, let's take a look at that.
Okay, now in this scenario, we're not going to have any fancy smanshy scenario, whatever. It's just everybody fight each other, and whoever dies, dies. And that's the end of it. On my side, I have the Master Chief and the Silver Surfer. Jason, what do you got?
Okay, I've got the Arbiter, the Scarecrow, Two-Face, and Red Skull. So it looks like we got a pretty small force on either side of the battlefield, and we'll see what happens with his... Wow, I don't know why I'm worried about that Silver Surfer guy. But what's the deal with the wall over here? Because this comes from the Marvel HeroScape set. It actually is like a destroyable wall. What's the deal with that, Ryan?
Yes, it is. Well, and there's the card right here. It's a breakable wall section. It's got 4 life, defensive 4. It's basically a really weak wall, just somebody okay. like the Hulk can just punch through.
Alright, so turn 1's done. Not a whole lot happened. The Arbiter got shot a little bit, which is annoying.
Silver Surfer has the high ground.
See, my theory still is that Kyle.
Kyle?
Yes, Kyle. That Ryan intentionally built this little spire here, specifically so a Silver Surfer could take advantage of some cool flying ability, but that's just my...
Keep in mind, when I built this, I had no idea I was going to be playing or who I was going to use, and I actually built this in spirit of the Halo universe, so... I don't know where Jason gets that idea.
Turn 2 is over. It's going along kind of quick. Obviously, we're getting a bit of a slap fight in the middle, as usually happens in these small hero games. So I charge the Silver Surfer with the Arbiter's Energy Sword, doing some damage, and also the Red Skull shot him up a little bit, too. So I've got... 3 damage on Silver Surfer, so he's almost halfway down. Hopefully I kill him next round. Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully Silver Surfer can respond to Arbiter's slash attack. We'll see.
Finally, after quite a number of, well, actually probably about right in terms of rolling probability-wise, the Red Skull's Dust of Death ability came into play and took Master Chief down. So he basically eliminated from the game with, well, still 4 life left on him. Yeah. So now I'm going to turn my attention to the Silver Surfer and see if I can take him out finally.
He's probably going to be taking that out.
Okay, at the end of this round, we see an unfortunate turn of events for Jason. After he took out my Master Chief, I was able to take out the Arbiter and Red Skull. And now the tables, I think, are starting to turn.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right, let's go to the next round. Final round, Silver Surfer's life was threatened, but he was able to prevail because these were just weakling humans.
There was a battle between Ryan and myself, and comics. I'll start off with the Arbiter. I really like him. He's really cool.
Yes.
Especially the Energy Sword special attack, and this is basically a range attack, because, you know, if you ever played Halo, at least in Halos 2 and 3,
yeah.
where you get to use the Energy Sword, it basically has a little bit of a charge to it. You line up with someone and just go flying into him and smash him with it. And that's kind of duplicates that a little bit
now,
here.
How do you think that he played with, like, the real HeroScape figures? Because he was facing off with the Silver Surfer, which is a real HeroScape figure, and it's got
an
original stat card.
Pretty good against the Silver Surfer. How many points is the Silver Surfer?
The Silver Surfer is, I think, around 300.
Yeah,
it's 320.
The Arbor's 230, and he almost killed the Silver Surfer. I'd say HeroScape's kind of tough to say whether the two figures are balanced. There's so much luck involved in the attack dice.
Well,
but
especially when you're
pretty good.
Especially when you're comparing a custom to a real one, I'd say it was pretty
between a real one and a real
one. It's pretty
whatever. Well, a custom and what is it, certified one.
Yeah.
I'd say it was pretty balanced.
It seemed pretty close.
Yes.
The Silver Surfer is a beast, though.
He
flew up on this top of this stupid pillar and just sat through the entire freaking game.
Blasting everybody to death. Although, I mean, Two-Face almost got him.
Two-Face got some lucky rolls at the end. Because I like the whole flip of the coin, because obviously it's whole Two-Face, his little gimmick.
heads you live.
It's one thing.
Die,
it's one thing I liked about Gray Owl, and it's funny how I copied. Like I had like four or five of Two-Face custom cards that were from different people. It seemed like everybody wanted to copy Gray Owl, or Gray Owl copied somebody because it had the same stats on some of the cards.
Oh really?
Yeah.
There's change out the special abilities.
Yeah, some like had maybe the move differently, or the defense differently, or the point value different, or the life different. But it was all a little bit of the same, same stuff. But yeah, like I said, I like how Gray Owl, I mean, not only in the Star Wars universe, but the DC and Marvel universe as well, is able just to take and use from that character's personality and put it into the special ability.
I want to say it's a bit of a nice classy touch to use the WizKids Halo Action Clicks figures in your HeroScape. The custom cards, that's what they are.
Yeah.
And,
can't tell, but,
and
yeah.
One thing about the Master Chief as well, about the guys who created this, you didn't get to see him with the UNSC Marines. Mm-hmm. There is a UNSC Marine stat card. And Master Chief...
The hero thing or something.
Yes, Master Chief actually works really well with the UNSC Marines. I wasn't able to show that because of the limited point value. But he does work well, and he can actually take out the Arbor pretty well with the UNSC Marines. With them on board.
Yeah, I mean, I like what they had here, at least the few that we played with. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the complaint would be there's not enough of them. There's no ODST, there's no grunts, no jackals, no brute, no standard brutes, no drones. So you're basically missing a lot of the cool stuff you get from Halo,
well,
like the Warhogs and Banshees.
Yeah, the Warhogs and Banshees, like the big stuff, they didn't have much of. They
freaking battle rifle.
They did have a profit, but like I didn't have a figure for that.
Yeah,
it was very limited, and I'm sure hopefully they make more soon because I mean Halo's just starting to expand even more after.
Yeah, they're off a good start though. They're like two cards. What about the superhero stuff?
Oh, and you have Tartarus too.
Oh, Tartarus. Yeah. We didn't play with him though, but
no,
he
but Tartarus
cool.
is a beast.
Yeah, we'll assume he's a beast. So, as for the two superhero cards I played with, Two-Face is kind of cool. He's fun, a lot of luck to him involved, the whole flip the coin, which may let him possibly take another turn, or possibly end your turn before you can get to attack.
And Scarecrow is really a close combat type of fellow.
Yeah.
I mean, a range of tanks will wipe him out pretty easily.
Yes, especially ones that roll six attack dice. Mm-hmm. But he actually has a high defense. He just he messes with people is what he does.
And like,
it's kind of cool, but...
And at HeroScapers.com, it was really hard for me to decide when it came to DC and Marvel because there were so many customs out there. Virtually almost impossible to choose which one was the best. I just had to go by just how well they played, at least the ones that I pulled offline. Mm-hmm. You really, I mean, you can go into HeroScapers.com and you could spend days just trying to figure out, okay, which one do I want to use from what list?
Do they have also, in addition to big superheroes, like the small, like basic trooper guys that you would find that are like meat shields in the superhero universe?
You mean like squads?
Yeah.
They do have a little bit of, not much squads,
like
but it's usually...
Fearing agents, maybe, I guess a good...
Yeah, but usually, most of it is just unique heroes, though.
Okay.
Like Joker has his minions, you know, there's a Joker custom card, he has his minions and stuff. Like I said, you do have a Batman custom card, and there's different varieties of Batman. I don't know which one is best yet, because they're all really good. They have their own specific identities, so it's just really hard to it's really hard for me to be a judge. I mean, you just have to go to HeroScapers.com and judge for yourself.
Do they have? I assume that they have like the classic Batman from the '60s, and they have like the more modern Dark Knight Batman. All the, you know,
they do. Yeah, they do have separate. They do have separate things. Like, I mean, it's like Green Lantern. They have not only different Green Lantern characters, but different Green Lantern stat cards with a person of the same name, but there's been a few Green Lanterns, and so they also have different ones of those as well.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. It's too bad I couldn't bring that in this, but I just recently discovered and I wasn't able to print them out in time.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's amazing what you can find on this website. It's mind-boggling.
So any other comments about the superheroes / Halo you want to talk about?
No, other than the fact that I want to give kudos to HeroScape for building a very nice expansion set with the superheroes. They did a good job with the figures, the cards, the breakable wall was great.
Love that thing.
Yes, I do. The Hulk is awesome. It was a shame that I knew they were going to make more additions for this, but they got canceled, which is a shame. Shame on you, HeroScape, for doing that.
That's why it's called The Conflict Begins, but that's
yes.
all there is.
Yes, yes. The Conflict Begins, but I'll have to say shame on you, HeroScape, for not expanding this more, because these were awesome, and I wish there would have been more.
I mean, I like a lot of the abilities that they gave to them, specifically, you know, Two-Face and the Scarecrow. They really kept it to the universe that they came from, so... I mean, I give them a lot of props for that.
All right, well, let's go ahead then. I guess we had one final battle.
Ooh-hoo.
You want to go ahead and talk about what this final battle was?
Yeah, let's talk about it a little bit. It's just the idea came to me a couple months ago when I explained Jason this idea for the show. And I saw it, I showed him, hey, look, there's a Jar Jar card. And Jason's like, oh, Jar Jar card. And threw it. I didn't see that Jar Jar card again. I had to print out another one.
The other one, I threw it over here in the corner and I picked it up. I'm like, I'll give it back to Ryan sometime. Oh, wait, I never did.
might be, burnt crepe paper crisp or something.
It's probably around the set here because I threw it over here and I moved around the basement as I clean stuff up. But by cleaning, I mean move things a different
way. But anyway, that inspired me to come up with a scenario about, okay, well, if people are feeling negative about Jar Jar, let's just create a scenario, like capture flag type of scenario to where we kill Jar Jar. Jar Jar Binks with it. So basically build a set. Jar Jar came to the HeroScape universe. Not understanding what's going on in the middle of the fake, surrounded by lava. And he doesn't know what to do. So we have to come and kill him before the world ends, and kudos to anybody who does it.
What's that FTW? Alright, so let's go ahead and we'll show you the battle. We'll come back and talk about each of our strategies and what worked and what didn't work and how bad we got screwed. Alright, here we go.
Okay, so first off, my army is the Lord of the Rings army. I've got Legolas, Aragorn, Gandalf, and a squad of orc archers. And I'm just praying, since I can't really get to Jar Jar because he's up like on a mountain surrounded by lava, that my strategy is probably just to wait for somebody to get him and then attack that person and then take him. So that's probably going to be my strategy in this round.
All right, for mine, I have the superheroes with Iron Man and Silver Surfer, and my strategy is to pretty much get there as fast as I can and fly them out of there.
I took the big gun strategy with the AT-ST walker from Star Wars, as well as Boba Fett, whose job is to get up there, and to fill a few points, I have the Imperial officer. So
which
Ryan
will respond like crazy. Yeah.
So Ryan, why don't you go over the rules for the...
Okay, so the rules for this is to obviously head towards Jar Jar, picking up almost like in a capture the flag type of scenario. Although Jar Jar still has point thigh, you're still using his card when you take him to your base area. You're supposed to carry him, take him to your base area, and then leave him adjacent to it, start attacking him, and wait until you kill him. And he doesn't have much of a defense, but he does have dumb luck. And so, unfortunately. So it might take a little bit to him. And even if, say you have an opposing figure that comes to your base and kills you before you kill Jar Jar, he can take Jar Jar back to his base and finish off Jar Jar, and that person will end up winning. So basically, the person who takes Jar Jar back to their base will end up and kills him will end up winning the game.
So basically, whoever inflicts the last wound on Jar Jar wins.
Basically.
Okay.
And so you can still deal damage to him.
Yes. What about the respawn rule?
The respawn rule. What happens if you have, since we don't want our figures to die so quickly, you know, Jar Jar has to die first. What we'll do is when characters die at the beginning of the round, again, we'll roll 20-sided die, 1 through 10, character doesn't come back. 11 through 20, you can choose a character that has been taken out to come back back around your base and get back into the fight.
Ryan, you want to start first?
Okay, I'll start. Okay, so we're in the first round. My guys really haven't done anything. Legolas used his speed to run up and face off with guys that are way out of his league. He went up against Iron Man,
Silver Surfer. I think the AT-ST is looking at him, like saying, "Who's this elven guy?"
As for me, I've pretty much gotten to Jar Jar Binks over here.
Jar Jar Binks been captured.
Now I'm just trying to get the Silver Surfer out of there before Boba Fett shoots him up.
All right, so over here, I basically moved Boba Fett and the AT-ST, discovering that Boba Fett's a much better fighter than the AT-ST. His stats are all better, he's faster, and can attack twice. So basically, Boba Fett's going to do everything else to shoot down the Silver Surfer, grab Jar Jar, and kill him back over here. So that's my plan.
Just don't shoot Jar Jar into the lava.
All right, let's do round two.
So at the end of turn two, and quickly, Boba Fett's proven to be the star of the battle. He already killed the Silver Surfer, and took Jar Jar, and now is making a run for the base, because he has the ability to not take attacks when leaving engagement, which is something that all these other guys don't have, so I can get away from them pretty quickly. So, get ready for turn three, as they're going to try to hunt me down.
Yep. All right. Yep, me and Andrew are joining forces, at least for the moment. Yes.
So Orion's over here moving his guys slowly around the castle. I've already got Jar Jar Binks back to my base. With two wounds on him, one more hit, he'll die, which, of course, Boba Fett will take care of on my next action. And, yeah, so, you're up first, though.
Yep.
Iron Man right. has one
See
more
if
shot.
Iron Man can come in and save the day. I don't know.
All right.
But the thing is now you cannot hit. You have to take care of Iron Man first now.
Okay.
Three.
I get seven because I'm elevated. I hit.
Took one more.
All right, again. One this time.
I don't see any. Darn it.
Yes!
So it's slowly wearing me down, but it's now my turn to strike back. Yep. How many life? He has only one life left, doesn't he?
Yep.
Yep.
One, two, three, four, five.
Still, it takes up his third token.
Mm-hmm. Three hits to Iron Man.
I get a defense of six.
Yeah, so he has a strong defense.
Iron Man goes down.
But he's down.
And therefore, I can now take my second attack and go against Jar Jar Binks, but he has that dumb luck rule. 14, Jar Jar Binks managed to evade the attack. All right, end of the round. So,
all right.
Jar Jar Binks will live for one more round. Alright, so with that, the bounty hunter has killed Jar Jar Binks, and an unnecessary celebration is holding his head high in victory. Yay. Clearly, Boba Fett was very powerful for this scenario, if possibly a little bit too powerful. Yeah, but we'll discuss that in just a little bit.
Well, there you go. You saw Boba Fett being a star, racing up there, doing basically tons of damage. Yes. So he is definitely, I'll say, definitely a very powerful yes. character. Double attack, the whole flying thing. Yes.
Took out Silver Surfer.
I was surprised about that. I was hoping to fly in there really quick, get out of there, and then bring him back so that way we could fight it out at my base.
Mm-hmm. So how well did your tactic work then? You had Iron Man and Silver Surfer. Is that just
well?
The idea was there.
Silver Surfer was doing his job. He wasn't making the saves for him.
And he wasn't respawning either.
No, I wasn't getting any respawns because I ended up sitting out on the last round because I couldn't get any respawns, not to mention Iron Man wasn't doing his job.
Yeah, and Legolas in the Star Wars universe just didn't think it worked.
Lord of the Rings guy over here. How did that go for you?
Yeah, it did not go very well.
I
knew that too. My only strategy was to get Legos over as quickly as possible, possibly interfere in your guys'
a little bit. Like one or two damaged Boba Fett.
But my problem with Legos is he did not hit enough wound markers to really hit anybody. He had an advantage with distance and, you know, accuracy, but
he's a fast little guy. At least seven spaces.
Seven spaces. So he's be able to get there pretty quickly. But as far as doing damage, I just couldn't do enough, and I would risk losing him, and then basically being totally out of the race because the rest of my guys only moved like five spaces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed you started to move your entire army slowly over, but it just didn't get very far by the time the game was over.
No, it didn't.
This is definitely a scenario which favored the race in, grab them, get out, which is the approach that Andrew and I took, which Ryan was completely unable to do so because he
gets stuck
with Lord of the Rings characters. So, what about the other guys? So the other guys then were just too slow for you to be useful.
Yes.
In this particular scenario.
Yes.
For me, I had the AT-ST and Imperial Officer. Imperial Officer stood around picking his nose. AT-ST walked about five steps, saw Boba Fett was a lot faster, a lot more powerful. Was like, screw that. He just stood there. So, I mean, AT-ST personally seems a little bit weak. Those things are supposed to be tanks. Aren't they? They should be able to take out with little laser guns.
And the card only has it at a 5 range.
Yeah. Range 5. Boba Fett shoots further than the frickin' AT-ST. Why? I understand, you know, you may want to make him some.
I think the AT-STs were a bit weaker because I mean I understand when Chewbacca and I probably write this in my custom card review for my playtest, but Chewbacca really does. I mean, I can understand him ripping arms off of characters, but when he's ripping off arms off the AT-ST, there's a problem there.
I think the problem we run into is Heroescape doesn't really have rules for large vehicles and like large units. They've got the robots like for the Deathwalker and those guys.
Grey Owl doesn't really, I mean, do much big vehicles. I think this is really the biggest one he has because there's problems. There's definitely problems with it. I think it's just a fun thing just to have in there to play with. But you definitely need unique figures to back it up.
Which is a couple of years ago, I actually made a video series about 3 episodes on YouTube, how to make your own custom Heroescape figure.
Yes, you did.
And it's actually kind of funny to watch the video because it's so old. And one of the things that's different about me now from then is when I'm doing these shows, I talk a lot slower now than I did back then. And it's really funny to watch, try to go back and like, I'm Jason, the Crazy Army Showcase. In the next 30 minutes, I'm going to show you how to make custom Heroescape character cards. So yeah, if you can go through the fast pace, you know, my hyperactive voice at the time, it's actually got a very good tutorial on going step by step how you actually can literally build a custom Heroescape figure card from the ground up.
And if you're lazy like me, just pull it from heroescapers.com. And even if you aren't lazy like me, go to heroescapers.com anyway and post what you create on there because people post stuff up like crazy up there.
Do you remember what your other point was?
Absolutely not.
Okay, should I go keep you in front of me then?
Go ahead.
All right, we got one more topic to talk about here.
Oh, boy.
In the continuing saga of the Tabletop Battlefield versus Bastion Studios over our Exodus review, I got another email from a different person at Bastion Studios. And I didn't print on his name. Oh, well, I honestly don't know if I could... Oh, well. That's all right. So, I got this is something different than Alexandria, who I talked to the first time. I guess I'm going to go through point by point kind of what they're talking about, because they made an interesting announcement here, which I assume people know about, but he sent it to me an email, and I said I was going to do it on the show. So, oh, well. So, one of my biggest complaints about Exilis, I did a little 7 points of why DRM sucks and how it applies to Exilis. One of the things they mentioned was you can't proxy figures because of the way their whole activation code system works. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently in beta now they have basically a testing system where anyone can try out any figure. I don't know exactly how it works, but basically allows you to try out figures you haven't bought yet. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's in beta right now, at least at the time of this recording, and it's going to go public very soon. So look for that on the website, which is awesome. That's one really nice change. Because now you can not only try out figures ahead of time, but you can actually possibly, hopefully, run large-scale battles.
Yes.
And see, Exodus probably works better on large scale than a small scale. And this allows you to actually try it out without spending $500.
Hopefully they change the monster to a different color rather than Barney Purple.
Yes.
I don't think so. But we'll find out if we ever get back to playing it sometime in there. Da-da-da-da. He went on to mention about some pricing stuff, comparing to GW, which I mentioned in some other kind of counterpoint of that. Let's see, And the other thing he brought up was a few points talking about how they've added new features to Exilis since they've done the review. Because frankly, Exilis is obviously being a new style of game, the fact that it's got the whole computer element to it, it changes a lot faster than any other game out there. So the reality is, if this ever happens again, where they've got some kind of software integration, our policy is I basically go along with how PC Gamer does it, which is we review the game when it comes, relatively soon after it comes out, usually,
and that's what we're going to stick with.
Yeah.
We may talk about the game in the future and show some updates since then. So unfortunately, Exilus, in your guys' case, where you keep coming out with new features every week, we're not going to go the entire rest of the season talking about the new features of Exilus. No. I am updating the text review on the website as I get things. So I'll update that where I've got an article about the review of Exilus. I'll update that, but we're not going to go back and film, you know, new reviews constantly every time Exilus releases, you know,
waste
some
of time.
Small update. Yeah. Granted, we will probably talk about it again in the future, and when that comes up, we'll deal with the new stuff, but for now, the review we have out there just stands. And the one thing he did mention, I'm not sure if I misstated this in the review, but the standard game that we talked about is played in a 5x4 grid field. Exilus does allow you to play up to like a huge size, like 100x100 if you wanted to. If I did say that, you know, you're fixed at 5x4, I did misspeak. I'm sorry about that. I don't know if I said that, but you can basically play any size battle you want with Exilus.
You said that when we, because of the fact that we were only able to play the...
Okay.
That was when you said 5x4 was because of the fact that we were playing the basic with just the starter set.
They also reiterated some of their points about why they have the DRM, the activation codes, why they don't want you to transfer things. Essentially, the idea is why you have to pay them money to basically sell figures to somebody or basically give your figure to somebody else. Their response is to prevent fraud. I'm not sure exactly how that works. I asked them for clarification. If they wanted to provide me a point, I would read on the show. But as of now, I don't believe I've gotten anything from them on that topic. So I'm not sure that's their stance. Is the reason you got to pay them money is to prevent fraud. I don't know how that works. And it basically the end result is even if that is their legitimate reason and they're trying to do it as some kind of good guy thing, it does come off as a very negative perception of their company and how they're handling it. And it does reflect poorly on them. Once again, I think that comes up also another point talking about the DRM is like if you could clarify that, that'd be awesome because once again, it just makes your company look greedy and bad.
Yes.
Even if it is a legitimate, valid reason why you're doing that.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a continuing saga of Tabletop Battlefield vs. Bastion Studios.
Yay!
We do look forward to playing. We will talk about Exilus at least once more by the time the season is done. Mm. So until then, that's all we've got to talk about at this point. So anything else you guys want to cover? Did we finish up?
We're good.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on this episode. Hope everyone had fun with basically Ryan's first custom episode.
And probably the last.
if you do like his work, send me an email at jason@rockosoftware.com. Maybe I can let him create a few more. If you hate it, don't worry. I'll kick him off the show. Just send me, if I got 3 emails saying kick Ryan off the show, I'll kick him off the show.
That is not nice.
I won't do that. It takes 4.
It takes 4.
So, Twitter at @TT_Battlefield. Steam is Rocker Robotics. Andrew.
All right. My Twitter is Duke_Nukem1.
And how do you plan to spell out your new Steam?
That's an interesting thing because my Steam normally is Duke_Nukem, but because of the new Team Fortress 2 clan that I am part of, it has a weird tag, which is a dash with the beta sign, and then the reverse R, which is a Russian, part of the Russian language, and then the H is represented by an H with a number 1, which looks actually like a line connecting from it, so it's kind of weird. So if you want to get a hold of me and play some Team Fortress 2, Left 4 Dead 2, Warhammer 40,000, Dawn of War 2, Chaos Rising, just copy and paste from the show notes, and you can reach me that way.
Ryan, your Twitter?
Twitter, rmadman4, as always.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on. We'll see you guys again in about 2 weeks on the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.